Lord, today I just pray that that we'll just open our hearts. I just pray that we'll just be willing to receive the word you were trying to tell us today, that we won't be distracted by things of the outside and that we'll be truly focused on your message today. Amen.
Today we conclude our series, Living in the Goodness of God, that we've been working through Psalm 23. I bet you didn't realise you get so much out of Psalm 23, hey? It's quite a lot there. But the good news is we don't have to stop living in the goodness of God because we end the series today, yeah? Because His goodness keeps on going. It keeps on going. It's part of His goodness to us. This morning we're looking at the last verses, and it's the on the top of your sheet you've got the whole of Psalm 23, but it's the last paragraph. And you might even want to underline it; might be helpful for you. I like drawing and writing and doing things like that, so that might help you as well. But you might want to underline the last verse there. It says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." Isn't that good? It's good enough. It is. We hear these lines, but what is one of the things that hold us back from pressing into God's goodness, to pressing into His mercy and what He has for us? And I'd like to associate that with fear. Fear is a real thing, yeah? It's a horrible thing. It's something that we each experience at different times of our life. It really tests us. We, a few months ago, just before Christmas last year, had gone through the routine at home. It was a Friday morning, emptied the bins, thought I'd better take them out, put them in the bin outside. So we go out our front door, was closest. You want the closest way to take the trash out at 8 o'clock in the morning, don't you? Yeah, don't do too much. So took it out, round past the car, put it in the bin, turned to walk back, and the passenger door on the car was slightly opened. And I thought, oh, that's been open all night. That's not good. All right, we better go close that. So I walked down there, and as I went to close it, you looked in and thought, why is the glove box open in my car? And then that sinking feeling in your heart goes, oh, no, what has happened here? Anyway, long story short, obviously the area got hit for a few nights. Someone come in, and someone didn't lock the car. I won't say who didn't lock the car that night, but there was an easy way. They opened up. They took some things out. That's okay. But then the fear that creates moving forward, right? A, have they got all my personal information that I might have had in the car? Our house keys that were in the car were still there, thank goodness. The spare car key was still there in the car. There was some money we had they missed. There's a few things like that. But that night, you know, you fall and crash into bed at night, 10 o'clock, just lay down to relax, and then the other thing that goes through your mind is the car locked. Get up, go outside, press the button. My poor neighbours, in our car, you press the button and the lights flash, you know, indicators flash, so it's, you know, locked. Our neighbours copped that for, I think, the next month. Every night, they'd flash a few times because I'd be at the door making sure it was locked. But it creates this fear within you, doesn't it? You know, there's some things that we really fear in life. One, you know, like going to the doctor sometimes if you've got to get test results. That's a fear, yeah? Yeah, getting, you know, that sort of stuff really does affect us. If you see a wriggly stick or a nope rope on the ground in front of you. We had brown snakes in Canberra, and I tell you one thing, yeah, they were around. Nothing that scares me more is than a snake. You know, you want to scare me, you bring one towards me, I'm out of there. So what do we do in fear? There's an acronym for you this morning. Forget everything and run. Right? Forget everything and run. That's the best thing we do in fear, right? Oh, it's just me. Okay, cool. All right. Fear is biblical, right? In fear, Noah escaped the flood by building the ultimate raft. He escaped it. Moses fled Pharaoh's death threats by fleeing to Midian. David eluded the end of Saul's spear and escaped during the night. Jonah fled in a boat in the opposite direction to where God was wanting to send him. Joseph, Mary, and Jesus fled into Egypt for the sake of Jesus' life. Paul was lowered in a basket to escape. So fear is biblical. It's there. Why? Because of they were in fearful of God, of nature, fear of their own life or maybe the consequences that was going to come their way. Fear was a real thing that they experienced, and it's something that we each experience today. And it's one we want to focus on at the conclusion of this series. So why don't we need to live to fear the future? Because in that line it says, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And that's a promise for us. That's a promise from God's word. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that's our future. Amen. That's talking about eternity. That's talking about heaven. So that's something we've got to look forward to, right? We get to look forward to things like Easter and chocolate and birthdays when you're a child, not so much when you get older, right? That's something that we can look forward to as to what's being prepared for us. We don't want to speed that process up, of course, but that's what we've got to look forward to. So three reasons that we don't need to fear our future. I don't need to fear my future when the Lord is my shepherd, because God's goodness is watching over me. Because God's goodness is watching over me. As I said, surely goodness will follow me all the days of my life. So how in the world would God be interested in me with 500 million people in the world, a few billion stars, animals and creations itself? Why would he be interested in me? In fact, we can come to learn that God knows every detail of our life. Talks about in Scripture that he knows that the hairs on our head are numbered, even the ones that we leave in the sink in the morning to come to church, right? He knows the numbers on our hair is there. We're told in Psalm 145, it says, the Lord watches over all who love him. He watches out for us, friends. He watches over us. Psalm 139, I'm sure you've heard these words before. Lord, you have examined my heart and you know everything about me. You know everything about me. You know when I sit and I stand. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. You know everything I do. You know everything I do. God is interested in you. Maybe you need to say it this morning. God is interested in me. Me. Yeah. Say it again to yourself. God is interested in me. He's interested. The good, the bad, the ugly, the sad. God is interested in all those things in our life. Second reason why I don't need to fear my future when the Lord's my shepherd, because God's grace is working in me. Because God's grace is working in me. I once heard about a preacher preaching about this passage and likening it to the shepherd with his sheepdogs, right? Think of the shepherd walking in front of the sheep and the sheep following after him. And behind the sheep were two sheepdogs chasing up the stragglers, bringing them together, bringing them along in the direction of the shepherd to keep the flock close to the shepherd. Hear that? To keep the flock close to the shepherd. The good shepherd's dogs were called goodness and the other was called mercy. It's called goodness and mercy. And I love this picture. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me. And the shepherd keeps me close to himself through the goodness and mercy that are chasing after us. So when we as humans stop asking God for help, and when we stop trusting, and when we have those challenges that come in our lives, we've got this beautiful picture of the goodness and mercy following after us, keeping us close to our shepherd, keeping us close to our Father, and bringing us and carrying us through those times. When we look at these surely goodness and mercy, we may say, well, my life is filled with, you know, a great deal of trouble. You can easily list the challenges in our life, can't we? If I said to you right now, what are the challenges that you face? And I'm sure, like me, you can sit down, you know, and jot them out and write them down. And you know, sin, we talk about sin has had a devastating effect on the world and things is not as it should be. But there is good in your life as well. Because James says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father. Isn't that good? Every good gift is coming down from the Father. Everything good in your life comes from a loving Heavenly Father, from the hands of God. So it gives us the opportunity to thank Him. You know, we can, to thank Him in that. So goodness is God giving us what we don't deserve. And if you belong to the Good Shepherd, God's goodness is always chasing after you like the sheepdog. And then we think about mercy. Mercy, well, goodness is God giving us what we don't deserve. Mercy is God not giving us what we do deserve. He's withholding the punishment that is designed for us. Holding it back, and that's what he gives us. God chases after us with mercy to keep us close to our Father. God's not chasing after us with justice, you know, with that punishment. He's not chasing after us and bringing us forward with that, but he's chasing after us. In Isaiah 60:10, the shepherd says to us, I will have mercy on you through my grace. Just think about it. I'll have mercy. He's got mercy for you through his grace. When we make a mess of our lives, when we make decisions that aren't helpful, Hebrews tells us that we can come before God's throne where we can receive mercy and grace to help us when we need it. Isn't that good? You know, we can come boldly before him. Because I don't know about you, but quite often I make a mess through life. I make decisions that aren't helpful. I expose myself to things that aren't helpful. But he's there for me. Think of a toddler. A toddler makes a mess everywhere they go. Don't even have to be a toddler. Talk to my wife, I make a mess everywhere I go. But a toddler's like a tornado that goes through the house, right? You leave them there unsupervised for too long. There is stuff everywhere. And to keep a clean house often feels impossible. You can't do it when there's a toddler in the house because mum and dad are behind trying to, you know, clean things up and keep things tidy and stuff like that. We've got no idea how many messes that we've made in life. Had the trail of destruction that we've left behind in our life. But we've got a God of goodness and of mercy who comes following behind us, picking up the pieces and cleaning up that mess as we go. Third reason we don't need to fear my future when the Lord is my shepherd, because God's glory is waiting for me. Because his glory is waiting for me. Psalm 23 here builds to the finale where it says, I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. It's that big ending. For musicians, it's a crescendo. It's the climax of that great book. It's the big celebration. That means we don't have to fear the number one thing we fear in life, and that's death. Death is not the end, but rather it's a transition or a transfer, an appointment with your Creator. God saves the best for last. But only comes under that opening line of the psalm when we choose for the Lord to be our shepherd. Which says, the Lord is my shepherd. We can read those words on the paper, but we need to invite and to personalize that, to make the Lord my shepherd, to go on that relationship with him. If you want to get a glimpse of God's glory right now, think of where it says in Scripture, the heavens declare the glory of God. You ever sat in those amazing sunsets or sunrises? One thing I knew I'd miss and do miss about Canberra is they have, must be the altitude or something like that, but they had the most amazing sunsets and sunrises. It was cold, sure, but it just was amazing. The colours and the beauty just gives us a glimpse of God showing off his glory through his creation. You know, what's the part in creation that you love? You know, whatever that is, that's God showing off his glory. You think of Stephen in Acts. He was a character. He was killed for his faith, for following Christ. And it says the story goes about as they were stoning him, throwing stones at him, and he was dying in Jerusalem. It says, remember, think about it, he's dying. He looked up toward heaven and he saw God's glory. I'd be more worried about the things getting hurled at me, right? But he looked up to heaven and he saw God's glory as he transitioned from this to the next, where God's glory is complete. The Bible tells us when Jesus was resurrected, it says Jesus returned to his glory in heaven. And one day we'll have the opportunity to do that. Think of 1 Corinthians, which says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. And I believe that's even for now, not just for eternity. You know, I believe that's for now, not just eternity. When you think of these words in the context of dwelling in the house of the Lord forever, should this reduce our fear? So, maybe not. But it certainly bring the big questions of life into perspective sometimes and helps us when we experience that fear that comes our way. So how do we live fearlessly? Let's turn that around to talk about how do we live fearlessly then for him. Number one, remain grateful and generous because God is so good to me. And that's on the flip side of the sheet there if you want to fill in the blanks with me this morning. It says, remain grateful and generous because God is so good to me. Getting our attention of ourselves and onto God and the other is one of the great is the great first step. Because we move from woe to me to let it be. To taking that emphasis away from ourselves and onto him. And I remember last week, one of the things that Sam brought out in the in her message when I talked about you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. What stuck was that was an opportunity for us to show the world how good God is to us. You know, and that's an opportunity to do that. So that, you know, we may think we're coming up against things, but we press into God and what he has for us, that we can show the world, we can show those around us how good God is to us. It says in Psalm, give thanks continually to the Lord because he is good and because his mercy will never run out. Do you hear that? His goodness is good and his mercy will never run out. Sometimes I struggle with the continually part. Give thanks continually because we get distracted and brought away. Continual mercy deserves continual thanks. In Hebrews it says, we have been given a possession of an unshakable kingdom. Therefore, let us be grateful and use our gratitude to worship, to move from worry to worship, to lift up his name. And maybe you already do this, but maybe this week you want to take a moment, you know, set an alarm in your phone, put a reminder on your calendar, whatever that is, to speak to your Heavenly Father, to write down what you're thankful for, what you're grateful for. And to cultivate that greatness. Number two, be gracious because God is so gracious with me. God wants to pass on the good things that he has passed on to us. Ephesians says, be gracious and merciful to everyone and forgive others just as God has forgiven you because of Christ. That helps keep it in perspective for it. You know, God cuts us a bunch of slack. He cuts me a bunch of slack, right? So how about we pass that on? Someone upsets us or offends us. What do? We want to hold on tight to that stuff, yeah? Someone cuts us off. Ugh. You know? Any other drivers out there? Just me, self-confessed. No, all good. Stay away from Sandy and me on the road. It'd be much safer. But you know what I mean? Like, you know, and the thing is, in those moments, when someone cuts you off, you go like that. They sail off down the road. Because they've got no idea what they've done. And who does that affect for the rest of that day or for the rest of the next 10 minutes or however long you hold on to that for? Me. I get angry at someone. Who does that affect? I don't even know. It affects me. Good reminder, God was gracious to me first. And he cleans up that mess in my life. And finally, live my life for God's glory because he's going to share his glory with me. Live my life for God's glory because he's going to share his glory with me. How good is that? How do you do that at work, school, your neighborhood, with your family? It says this in Matthew. Jesus said, this is words from Jesus' mouth. He says, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works. That's the key there. They will see what God has done in your life. And it goes on and says, and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. You know, let your light shine. It's about having a go. You know what? I don't profess to do things right. You know? But it's about having a go. Giving our best. One foot in front of the others. I can stay back here and not move anywhere. What does that achieve? Nothing. Sometimes it's about one step in front of the other. You know, I don't know what this step's going to take. Am I going to move to Long Jetty? What's that going to look like for my family? Sometimes, yeah, it's going to be awesome. It is awesome. Thanks for that reminder, Haley. Needed that. But you know what I mean? Sometimes we're in that situation when you've got to make those choices in life, haven't you? You've got to go, how do I step into that? And sometimes, like, I can't move my left foot forward, but I need God's help to be able to do that. in 2 Peter, and it's a outline in your verse there, it says, God in his divine power has given you everything you need to live a godly life. This power was giving is given to us through knowing Jesus. And the benefit, goes on to say, he has called us to share in his own goodness and glory. That we can share in that now and into eternity. One day we'll get to share God's goodness and glory. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up as we conclude here this morning. So if God has offered everything, including his son's life, how then will we live? With all that being said this morning, how then will we live? Will we remain in fear or turn that around to put that towards faith as we step forward? Have you made the shepherd yours? It says, the Lord is my shepherd. Have you invited the shepherd to be my shepherd, to have that relationship with him? And do you, maybe that's something you need to consider today. When we say Jesus is the good shepherd, is he actually my shepherd? So this morning as we respond, friends, I don't know what God's doing in your life right now, but this morning I do sense he's doing something in this room. And maybe that might be that you want to come and pray by yourself, or bring someone with you, or pray where you are, to be reminded of God's goodness. Maybe you do have a fear in your life, something that's going on. Maybe it might be personal and private, and that's okay. Maybe it's an opportunity to remember of God's goodness, that despite that stuff we hold on to, we can look to our Father in heaven. Say, God, I can't do this by myself, but I need you to work through me in this moment. Or maybe it's something completely unrelated to what I talked about this morning that you need to bring before your Father. And if that's the case, and that's the opportunity to do that this morning as Nate and the team sing. And I like these words where it says, they're going to sing this morning, I've never been abandoned. I'll never walk alone. Because it says that Jesus didn't leave the one go off by itself and just continue with the 99. I will leave that one on the roadside. He left the 99 to go after the one. And you know what? He might be the one this morning that he's pursuing after in his goodness. Whatever that is, it's an opportunity now to do that.